On this episode of the Mouth of Sauron podcast, we discuss...
Are all Numenoreans flat earthers?
Why, I finally like Galadriel.
Why did Isildur get gummy with a horse?
And I'll convince you why Halbrand is Sauron. It's the Mouth of Sauron. Call it your Rings of Power. Hello and welcome to the Mouth of Sauron's reaction to episode 6 of the Rings of Power episode. And what an episode it was. So much to get through, so much to react to. I'm here with Ash, I'm here with Charlie, I'm here with the shout-out guy behind the microphone.
That's what I've become.
Yes, and we're all very excited, aren't we? Very, very excited. Very excited. As ever, I will start with one sentence. You have one sentence to react to the episode you've just seen. Keep it tight, keep Ooh. It concise.
Oh, man.
But but be accurate. Go.
Shit went down.
Good. Go.
R.I.P. Glob.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And what about you? What about your bad self back there?
I would like to say they were digging tunnels for a reason.
Of course they were.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, great. Good. Okay.
Go on, Kel. What about you, Kel?
My sentence I think would be proper episode.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Like
oh,
that yeah. that was a proper episode of television. You know. I think for me that was like if I can reverse my life back to the old me before I knew anything now.
Flip reverse it.
Yeah. And was like dreaming of what this could be. If I'm honest, a couple episodes have fallen short in, you know, fairly substantial ways, to be honest. This one was pretty much like what I kind of perceived the show was going to be, hopefully. And it was tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah. This episode was everything that you would hope a Lord of the Rings series episode to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it had the full kind of gambit of, you know, whatever you would want from Lord of the Rings. Pretty much all those little tick boxes.
Yeah, checked all the boxes, didn't
they? Horse
the
riding.
I do think, though, like...
Yep. Bad guys getting killed.
Bad guys getting killed.
Good guys doing the killing.
Yeah.
Twists, turns.
Orcs.
The right amount of magic. And the bit of romance. You know,
love is in the air.
Well, we'll get to all of that.
We'll get to all of that. Yes, yes. I'm breaking my own rule here, aren't I? That was my one sentence rule is I'm breaking. So look, here's how we're going to do things. Ash, we don't have Mike with us tonight, so you're going to take us through scene by scene, methodical, step by step, and we will just react. We will break things down. We may head off on the old tangent.
Oh. Hey. It's not the Mouth of Sauron podcast unless we go off on some type of Lord of the Rings tangent.
Unless there's tangents aplenty.
Yeah. Or whatever Deej wants to throw in just from the world of different universes.
I have got a comment to make about the first 30 seconds of this episode. So let's get into it.
Okay.
Right.
Let's get into it. Wow. Kick us off, Ash. Where did we start tonight?
Okay, so we started off scene one with Adar's fingers running through the dirt.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're going
really,
like...
Really like that. Shot by shot tonight. Yeah.
We're going to break this down into 10-second segments.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, yeah.
No. So, Charlie, what did you think about Adar's fingers running through the dirt?
He's due a manicure, isn't he? Poor Adar.
I thought, do I like those fingernails or do I not?
Nah,
and then I realised that I myself have a thing about fingernails. Like,
or like a thang?
Am I freaked out by thangernails? And I think I kind of am.
Well, right. His ones, yeah.
No, just any ones, actually.
Your own? Do you like go like, and see yours?
No,
and...
I thought this is a tangent immediately. I feel like I used to be quite attracted to like sort of females like that have done their fingernails. And okay. I've realised now that I am not.
What about
Adar has turned you
Adar
off?
Adar has turned
the
me off.
Thing.
Yeah, his, like, Adar has changed nails. My taste in women.
What about that woman that's grown them out? and that she's grown them so long that they start to like curl underneath each other. So she's got these big sort of Edward Scissor curls.
What are you doing? What are you doing about what?
Guinness,
what?
Like Guinness World Record lady.
Yeah, Guinness World Record.
Sorry, what's your
question?
Yeah, I want to close this off very quickly. Is your question, do those long curly fingernails before Cal met Adar, did they turn Cal on?
Is that or did they freak you out? You know,
yes. If that's your question, yes, they always did.
So this is pre-Adar. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Adar's fingers running
now,
through the dirt.
This is where I wanted to come in and say that that glove, brilliant gardening glove. That is incredible. You see the way it was just chopping through the door? Dirt. Honestly, best time of year to be taking potatoes out the ground. You'd get them done in moments.
Rotating
that thing on your hand. Yeah, get that in your local garden centre.
Yeah.
Right, brilliant. Yeah. Well, so maybe that can go on our next merchandise episode.
Yeah, brilliant.
So what I liked, what I picked up from this episode, from this scene, good speech from Adar at the beginning. We said before in an earlier episode about him sort of bringing a bit more community to the orcs, right? Like we started to believe a little bit more in like what they were doing and why they were fighting. And before it was just, they are evil and evil fights, right?
Yeah.
And what we found with Adar is, you know, Adar means father, as one of our watchers, listeners pointed out in our comments on YouTube. So, you know, keep doing that, please. We found out that Adar means father, right? And in this speech, he addresses them as my children, right? Which is like quite an emotional
sons
bit.
Sons and daughters as well, he calls them. Yeah. Like, and daughters, by the way.
So, we see this going on. And who pops up in the middle of this crowd?
Glob. Oh, my boy.
Glob's there.
He was there. Legs out.
Yeah, he was there. And he was proper like,
we want to do it, boys.
He was there. And he was right next to old Waldrig. What's his name? Waldrig. Waldrug.
Waldreg.
Waldrig. Waldrig. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I didn't anticipate how I thought Waldreg for me early on had all the makings of like a one episode guy, you know, a sort of like tavern. I'm behind the bar at the tavern. You won't see me again. But actually, he's. I mean, he. Don't want to skip to the end, but he's been.
He's made some big moves.
He's made some huge moves. Maybe the biggest move of the whole thing. But we'll get there. But yeah, I think that's why early on I was like, hang on, how is he suddenly Adar's right-hand man? I can buy it, you know, because he sort of knelt in fealty, to him last episode.
Yeah,
he was like,
killed that.
Yeah, kid. And he killed the guy that we always knew was going to get killed.
And he is the keeper of the sword.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But yeah, he was right there, so yeah. But no, I mean, like, you know, good setup scene.
So look, we have this crowd of like all of the orcs. We've got Glob, we've got Waldrig, everything like that, and then it goes. It's essentially the other side of the shot that we saw at the end of the last episode, which is them. It's those they're waiting. You know, when he says they'll be here in a couple hours, happens in the last episode, right? Mm. And then we go back to Tir Harad, where we've got Arandir, and then the fight happens inside. And
quite cool that.
I mean, look. Well, I'm just going to step right in. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Arandir just doing that elf working chains and pulling shit and throwing.
Shoot that arrow at that rope that's going to cut. And then I'm going to get too excited. And then it's going to do the thing and the rock's going to fall and the log's going to slam across. All of that. Love that shit. So good.
Really cool. And then we very sadly have to say...
No.
Goodbye to Glob.
Do you know what? He took that tower for them like a champ, though.
Yeah.
He knew it was coming for him.
Yeah, hero's death. Died like an absolute hero.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, just took it. Just took an entire giant half of a tower.
I would be the one to be taken by the tower.
Yeah. It's tough.
Really cool, I thought, that they decided to just be like, let's not have this cheap Helm's Deep battle in... Tir Harad, let's have Arandir just rip down this tower, which has been like this bastion of defense, and then just like do away with it. Like, let's not have the battle here.
Mm.
Let's have it somewhere else. Cool, right?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool. And the second that sort of happens, the second we see Glob go, second scene comes along.
Yeah.
All right, then we have
a little cutaway.
The Numenorean ships
back with the sea cadets.
Sailing through the night.
Nice shot, that was. A really nice shot with that big moon just in the background. Lovely. Love that.
Yeah, aesthetically very pleasing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really trying to play, I thought, I wrote down Isildur the Stable Sweep.
Mm.
You know, meets Galadriel. What's your rank?
Stable Sweep.
Right. Really
is
nice.
That a rank?
Yeah, no, that's
so
just
you're
a bucket. That's
not
a job.
In the army.
Yeah. No, I know the last thing you did was sweep the stables, but what's your rank?
Yeah.
Like, what's your rank? Stable Sweep's not a rank, Isildur. Surely someone at some
point
told you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been given a job for the night.
Yeah.
You've got a rank, haven't you? No.
No. No. Just, that's it. No. That's it. That's all I do. Sweep.
I had big questions about this scene. So he's eating an apple, right? Oh, he then holds this apple
was
out
million, actually, yeah.
to the horse, who doesn't eat it, just gives it a bit of like. That's literally what happens. Right?
God. What?
Then he's heading out on the deck and he's eating this apple in front of Galadriel, who at this point in the story is one of the most incredible elves of all time. And he just guns it into the sea. Like, if Galadriel knew what he'd done with that apple beforehand, would she be speaking to him? That's what I want to know. Like, she'd be like, no, we don't.
But he's basically like lips to horse.
Yeah. We don't need to have this conversation right now. I've seen where that apple's been, and yeah, it blew my mind that was a thing.
She's got like much bigger things to think about, I'm sure.
Yeah, much higher standards, isn't she, than this matey that's just going around feeding apples to horses, getting them to sort of get their lips around it, and then.
So she might have been. So did you think she might have been like, halt the ships a second, drop anchor
here,
because this guy needs to go
get
back.
Get him off. Get him on a dinghy. Get him out of there.
Not only is he, by the way, wasting food, right? He's sharing it with the horses, right? He's taken a bite, he's given his horse half a bite, and then he's thrown the rest into the sea.
Yeah. Not cool.
We're rationing here, mate.
No, it's not cool.
Galadriel had a good little line there, though. Do you remember it? About something about, my God, I don't know it verbatim, but it was something about being humble, and she was like, look, it's all right, you know, some of the best warriors start out as like little humble stable boys. What, stable sweeps?
Yeah, I reckon, that sounds almost exactly like what she said.
I think that is verbatim.
Do you know, this is the first episode where I've sort of been on her side a little bit. I've gone,
I understand
you now, actually. Yeah. I'm rooting for you a little bit here.
She had some good lines. I wrote a couple down.
But no, good scene. And I think that nice to sort of... It's a big fucking deal, like seeing Middle-earth for the first time. Like, let's not underestimate that. You know, for a Numenorean, Numenorians have never felt the need to leave Numenor.
It's a lovely place.
Oh, they're like, this is an island paradise we've been gifted by the Valar for our part in the War of Wrath. It's got everything we need. There's like, we haven't really been introduced to this much in the series, but anyone that's familiar with the text will know that there's five cities that are of equal like splendor.
Yeah.
And they just don't need to go anywhere. And to leave and go there, to Middle Earth, is a major deal for any Numenorean person. So I think they did an okay job of kind of selling that with Isildur being clearly very excited, young guy excited to sort of say, you know, and that's been his whole spiel, hasn't it? Like for the series, it's been like, I need to go and prove myself. I need like a platform. I need to be given a platform to go and prove myself. And his platform is Middle Earth, so yeah, cool. And then just dropping a little bit about like Galadriel could see it with her elven eyes before the men could.
Yeah, but then there was a point where like we couldn't see it.
No.
And then all of a sudden he turned around and it was like, there it fucking was. And it was like, well, no, it's not. That's not happened, is it? Like, it's not turned up like there it. Not turned up like there it is. By the way,
yeah,
like that was. That, I mean, I get it, but...
Maybe he was like, oh, just squinting.
In my eyes.
I could see it the whole time.
Yeah.
No, I think there's a little nod to the lore there. To the lore
A nod
there,
to Specsavers.
Because she's saying I can see it. Now, that means that the world is still flat.
What?
Yes, I was going to ask this, because when the sun comes up as well, I was like, that sun's coming up well quick. And I was like, what shape is... Well, the Earth in Lord of the Rings. Is it flat or is it round?
Well,
I mean, listen.
Lord of the Rings is full of flat Earth.
The world is still flat.
Sure.
What? Still flat?
Sure.
So okay. It goes round at one point.
I'll move on to scene three.
Yes, please Great. Do.
Right, scene three. We go back to the village. Mm. And listen, this is all really just really one long scene from this point on.
Yeah.
But we'll go for the big bits. It's Arendir trying to break the sword that Theo finds. Mm. Oh, no, I can't break it. Like, we get that. Can't be broken by anything that we have. And then there's what I've been looking for in this series. There's a smithing scene. They're getting ready. Like, ding, ding, craft your arrows. Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes,
good.
Sharpen your knives.
Yeah, right. Very, like, hi-ho sort of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we're all preparing for this little battle. We've got a little bit of daybreak here before the night falls, and they're making ready for battle.
Yes, they are. Yeah, good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good tactics as well. It was smart to just sort of go, well, they can't exist in sunlight, so
use that to our advantage.
So let's use that. Let's because I thought you're right, Ash. I thought actually the whole thing was going to be a sort of Helm's Deep in the Watchtower type thing, and it wasn't at all, was it? They actually just took it right back down to the you know, they got down and dirty in the
village. Took it back to what they knew, you know. That's their home territory, and they're going to fight their battle there.
Yeah.
Nice little line from Bronwyn. Loads of good stuff from Bronwyn, I'll just say.
You know what?
Amazing, right?
What a G. All right? She well stepped up.
What a G. And she drops a nice little line. Yeah. We're talking to Theo. She says, in the end, the shadow is but a small and passing thing. Nice little line there.
Lovely little line.
Like that. Yeah. And then, Arendir, Bronwyn...
Oh,
getting a little bit freaky.
Yeah, about time as well. Come on.
Yeah, is that their first kiss?
Yep. On camera.
Well, is that their first kiss?
I think so. I was thinking that as I was watching it. I think it is. Yeah, it's the first genuine bit of romance, isn't it? Like, I think Deesa and Durin have added like a bit
the whole thing,
but that's been more like sort of like no.
Yeah, till you just... later, lady.
I'll see you later.
I'll just like to, yeah. We, you and me can go and make another couple babies.
Oh my God, what?
Imagine that was the line that they dropped.
That's been their style of romance.
I don't know what that accent was. That accent was all wrong.
He's Scottish, isn't he?
Yeah,
Scotland.
Like a...
Yeah, where were you then?
I don't know. That's almost like jokey romance, isn't it? Like it's look, let's not brush it aside. Like Lord of the Rings, Tolkien does have romantic elements to it. You know, like all that is Aragorn, Erwin. It's all there, isn't it? And I think that at some point it was going to need a little bit of romantic payoff.
Well, that bit was good because that's when he gives her the seeds and he's like, oh, we'll plant these seeds afterwards. But that's a mirror of what Adar says at the very beginning. Bronwyn ends up saying the same line that Adar says in Elvish, I'm pretty sure, but she says it in
English, something about a birth.
New life.
New life to defy... Defying death or something like that.
And that's the same line, just said by her later, which is really nice, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nice to finally see those two.
Lovely.
Get it on
and bring it back together. Scene four.
Yeah.
Darkness descends upon the village.
Oh my God.
The orcs are going to attack. I'm going to say right from the off, two things. First of all, I know it didn't turn out this way, but the orcs are a bit shit, aren't they? They just walk into places.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's like, send one guy in. They're like, we're all going to give up. Give all down. Get your swords. We're getting in there.
Bit stormtroopery, aren't they?
Yeah, like everybody's
can't
in.
Hit a shot.
Traps? Well, is it? Are they behind this door? Yeah. No, they're not.
Almost comical.
Yeah.
Like, comical in their ineptitude. The way that one guy... gets hit by the rolling cart.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got to take him. Yeah. Bonk. Yeah. And they like, literally bonk.
They missed us.
Yeah. The way you got hit was like the way I'd imagine somebody getting hit by like a Fiat 500 or something. Like, you just kind of bounce off of it and end up underneath it. You don't actually go with it. But yeah, and also that walk was just kind of like taking the torch up to the wagon that had been covered in oil.
Yeah,
it's like it was like a slapstick comedy sketch, wasn't it?
No, but that did provide us with like the first bit of true sort of, that was like the first human death we'd seen, like
yes,
death of man. That
brutal
woman
well.
That was with Bronwyn behind that car got sliced up in the
yeah.
neck.
Yeah, and lots of like the whole.
We didn't shy away from the yeah, for the death of the humans.
Lots of good deaths. And the other second bit I noticed was if they were like, we're going to keep all those that can't fight in the keep.
Yeah,
and then
there was just a bloke
was
in
like,
there that could definitely.
She was like, them. Theo, you'll be protecting them if you were in the keep. And Theo walked in with that spear and went, don't worry, if the orcs come in here, I've got you. You'd be like, fuck this.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm going to keep running.
Yeah.
You're going to save us.
We're off. See you
no
later.
Way, buddy. Get a haircut.
Such a crap haircut.
And then it all kicks off, right? So then we have the orcs, you know, then we have that this village battle scene. What do we think of this?
I really liked it. I felt like they could have gone a bit more. On the gore and the violence. I get it, it's a show for all the family, but the one bit that had me properly cringing a little bit was when that orc's, we calling it blood? Orc juice? Went into Aaron Deere's mouth and he was like, ah, 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 and then it was going like, ah!
Orc blood leaked all into his
eyes. I'm not comfortable
eyes.
Calling that blood, because...
Why?
This doesn't sit well with me. It's like, they don't have it, there's nothing humanoid really about them, apart from the fact they got two arms and two legs, and
okay.
a face,
Fun.
And a head.
Wow,
it's quite a lot. Maybe
I think
it should
Adar
be blood.
Would beg to differ.
Oh well, yeah. Well, he just fucking loves them, doesn't he? All right, but yeah, really, really gross that it gets all in his mouth.
Yeah,
oh.
And that just dangling right by his eyeball. We know he's not going to die, but it's cool, right? Like they've got to do those bits, and that's
loved
a great
it.
Fight between
Intense.
That big,
loved it.
That big
yeah.
boy. Do you know who he reminded me of? The big boy. Helm's Deep. Legolas, bring him down! You know, the guy that runs in with the torch. And
yeah.
like, reminded me of one of those.
Yeah.
It was,
he's
it was,
running
it was
in with the Olympic
guys.
Torch.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
He's well odd, isn't he, that orc? He's
yeah.
proper odd, isn't
he?
Like, he
was the prototype of all of those dudes that mm. like you just couldn't kill. They
yeah.
always used to come at you in the Return of the King video game, and you'd come up against you, but oh, it's one of these guys. I've got to
yeah.
fight them.
Oh, God, not
he
them
was
again.
One of them.
He's
yeah.
the T1. He's the T1 of the orcs.
And Bronwyn takes him down, of course. Spear through the back.
And Bronwyn takes him down.
That's my girl right there.
I am no man. That's Ooh. What that reminded me of.
Yeah,
wow.
it was.
A lot, that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got the bit where Erendir is like, touches their neck. He realises, actually right, Charlie, because he realises right there, this be human blood.
Ooh, does the old two-finger swipe?
Yeah. Sorry, he does the...
The two-finger swipe.
What's that?
He gets his fingers in it and goes, ooh, what's that?
Cool.
The two fingers, little... You never just swipe with one, do you? You always go,
Don't you?
Two. I always
swipe.
Give it two. Always.
Yeah. What was the...
Jesus.
So basically, it was like, you know, in the South Park movie when they send...
What? How are we referencing that?
Have you seen the South Park, have you seen the South Park movie?
I have seen
yeah.
the South Park movie,
You
yeah.
know when they send all the black guys in first and they call it Operation Human Shield?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
They did that with the Southlanders. The
right.
orcs were like, no,
yeah.
you boys are going in
They're
first.
They're going to tire
yeah.
themselves out on these lot.
Yeah.
And then the arrows started flying.
Yeah,
yeah.
Different though, because in the South Park movie, all the black guys, chef at the very last minute goes, move! And they all split.
Yeah.
And they kill all the white guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Well, good.
Doesn't happen.
But
in
the
this.
Southlanders didn't do that.
They
just got they
just
killed.
Got
yeah.
arrows in the
I mean,
guts.
There were some orcs, like, sprinkled in, weren't there? To the...
oh, there was one that got mouthy at the end.
Yes.
He's like, well, they've all come to our side,
yeah.
didn't they?
Yeah.
We...
That little flashback then again,
yeah.
once again for me, back to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where Aragorn goes over the cliff.
Arendir on
and,
the brain.
And there's that one guy that's like...
yeah.
He took
yeah.
a tumble over the edge.
Yeah.
You're taking like yeah. Michael's thing of being like, I
will
might
take
get
Michael
cast,
one-on-one in
Lord yeah?
impressions if I have to.
Lots
All
of,
right?
For me, there was lots of parallels there for the Lord of the Rings series. Like, again, the battering ram, very, very much used in Return of the King. They had that giant battering
and,
ram, didn't they?
And I would like to say that there's the bit where Galadriel is chasing Adardan on the horse, and she whispers to a horse. She's like, in Elvish. I don't know what it is.
We're not there yet.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. We're not there yet because we're talking. We're just. I know.
Getting excited.
I know. We're getting excited. I know.
You are
know.
Right, but
you are right.
Hang on. Forget we said it.
Because we'll say it in 2 seconds.
Just come back to that.
Because we talk about arrows flying in after we were fighting our own, and they've all realised it, and then Bronwyn
takes one, takes one.
Bronwyn to the shoulder.
took one to the in through the back, out through the front.
Yeah, it's a through.
It's a thruer. It was a complete thruer.
She certainly got two holes at the end of this.
Yeah. Right. It was properly in there, wasn't
terrible,
it?
Terrible, terrible.
Properly
really.
In there.
Well, do you know what? That was a good litmus test of how much we... Because I think you're right, Charlie. They're not in the business of killing off any of their main characters, are they?
Nah.
But it was a good litmus test of like how much do we care about someone like Bronwyn. And if she had have died then, it would have been a big deal. And I would have cared. Yeah. I wouldn't have been like, fucking hell, but I would have cared.
But maybe that's been my problem so far with the Galadriel then, is because I know she's not, nothing bad's going to happen to her. And so it's like, I'm never living on the edge of you because I know what happens to you.
Mm. It's a difficulty of knowing what happens.
It's the problem
ultimately.
With the prequel.
Yep.
It is, isn't it? But I think, but it was nice to, it was one of the first times in the whole series where I've like, thought, oh, they've got the whole kind of sequence of things right here. Like the love scene with Arendir and her just before, that sort of plucked on our heartstrings enough, didn't it, to give us that
bit. So
we
cared it more.
It all built up to a point of like, okay, cool. And obviously if they'd won that little battle, so it was like, great. It was a good little unforeseen reveal, wasn't it? The fact that they were all Southlanders and not orcs. Yeah. It was good. It was a good bit of the episode.
I think the one thing I struggled with it a little bit was that like the tempo of it felt a bit off. Like I think that the reason that Helm's Deep's so sick is because it's like 40 minutes of just like constant barrage of action all the time. Like you're just been swept up in it. The fight obviously starts at the tower, and then that's a good little bit of trickery on their part, and then they're like, we're getting ready in the village. And like at one point it cuts to the Numenoreans on the horses again, and I'm like, we're right in the middle of the good shit. Like, oh, I don't care. I know they're coming. I will not be surprised if they arrived later and you didn't show me riding on their horses. Like,
well, that's well said, Charlie. Because exactly where we are.
Yeah.
All right. After we have the cauterizing the wound scene, which is very cool. That does, Charlie, bring us to the Numenorean horses across the plain.
Okay. I've got another bit. It's really dark when they're fighting. Mm-hmm. It's really dark. And then the Numenoreans appear and it's bright sunshine. They're in bright sunshine. And then we go back to the thing. And I get the sun's starting to come up and it's pitch black inside because we've blocked out the windows and we've got the fires lit. But it's dark.
Flat Earth.
But then it's...
But anyway, sorry, to go into the bit I really liked about this, which I didn't kind of perceive up until this point. And they showed you on the map, didn't they? They sailed right up the river into the Southlands.
Got right in there, yeah.
They got right in there. Where I was like, I thought they would make landfall basically at the edge of Middle-earth and have to ride and ride and ride and ride and ride.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, oh no, yeah, of course they wouldn't. They just got in there and that made their journey more efficient, I suppose. Yeah.
And more believable.
And more believable, yeah. Good.
Certainly.
Good navigators they have, the Numenoreans.
So then, that brings us back into the... And I have to say, I am missing Michael right now, especially as the fun we had last episode, because...
Maggot holes. So many maggot holes.
They've got them in the...
Maggot
hole
for
in
you!
In the keep, yeah. Yeah. And they are literally going, tell us, no, maggot hole for you! Maggot hole for you! And they're giving
absolutely.
Them out.
Yeah.
They're actually, I can't believe they're actually handing
free
out maggot
rein
holes.
To the maggot holes,
yeah.
It?
It's how they get down. Any,
I rated it.
Any punishment, which is unbelievable.
Not going to tell us, maggot hole for you.
Yeah, maggot hole for you. So that's going down. And then Theo... says there's the sword.
Yeah, what a little sneak, by the way, because we say Arendir, so not even you can know, Bronwyn, where I am taking this, where I am hiding this for your own safety. Like a little Theo being like,
yeah, always got my eyes on the sword.
checking out where he's
proto
going.
Proto Gollum.
What a little prick. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Bad hiding place, though. The middle stone.
Where
in
we
the
all
floor
end up.
That is, of the yeah. one thing we're all hiding in.
Yeah. Yeah, take it 100 meters away into those woods and dig a hole.
Yeah, and don't mark it. Don't mark where the hole is. So no. You couldn't even go back there
well,
if you wanted
it
to.
It looked like when he took it and he was like, Bronwyn, no one can know. He was going to like go deep into a forest somewhere and like, you know, bury it. But actually, he must have just gone.
He went to a really public place.
That one yeah. loose cobble in the middle yeah. of the...
That's good. As hard a place as good as any.
But yeah, he got it out of him in the end, didn't he? And yeah, Adar gets what he's been after.
Adar gets what he's been after. And then all is lost, we think. Until Numenor to the rescue,
here
of course.
We fucking go.
And it kicks off. We get them coming in with just one little thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to attack this village. All right. And we're riding on these planes for a few hours. One very clever person went, should we just take some chains with us? Just in case the first group of orcs we meet are all
skittles.
Bunched together. And
yeah.
then we can just be like, I didn't expect that, did you?
Good.
Really great move. Ever
love
thought of that,
that
in the Numenorean army? Yeah. The
love
chain
it.
Master, I shall yeah. call them.
It was good. It was fun.
Chain combat.
I did think that they missed a trick in... you don't want to overdo the Helm's Deep... throwbacks, but they should have made more of looking that way and like poof, burst of light, sunrise,
look to the east,
the Numenors yep. blinding the orcs, and the orcs starting to get burnt. That would have been cooler.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like in that Helm's Deep episode when they look up and Gandalf has got the Rohirrim and they're like, and it blinds the orcs.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have done that again.
Should have.
Just a little nod, like a little.
Well, it was just a little bit again. Like, why have you not just made it a tiny bit sicker when you had the opportunity to be brilliant? They were indoors.
Where's the finesse here?
They were indoors, and it was still pitch black, and they were doing maggot holes, and Adar got the thing, and then we heard some rumblings, and then we went outside, and it was pure daylight.
Yep.
And then the Numenoreans were there 10 seconds later, and it was like just. Amazon,
well,
just
you, we
be
heard the drumming of
better.
The hooves, didn't we, from the inside?
Yeah, well, that
yeah,
was cool.
Very cool.
Still do that. That's fine. But have that moment where you open the door and you look that way.
Yeah.
And at that exact moment is when the sunlight just comes above the fucking horizon line, and at the same time the Numenoreans are there.
But this is what we were talking about.
And the orcs start to burn. That's how you do that scene.
Yeah.
They must walk a thin line between. If they did that, there would be probably loads of people going, well, they're just copying the films.
Yeah.
Which is dangerous. I understand why they can't do that. But at the same time, there is that thirst for it to feel like proper Tolkien, Lord
of the
Rings. But
it's also the reason
stuff.
The films are so sick.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah. that, we're going to do that again because they were so good.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it
little
hadn't done
nods
that,
like that,
yeah.
are
people like us that love it would have gone, oh, that's so, it's just
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they're a little bit too scared of that. The people that are making these shows are like, no, we have to be...
Completely.
We
unique.
Have to be original
yeah,
in those moments.
You can also imagine that they actually filmed it like that and then maybe took it out.
They probably did. Mm. Got scared and went, no, let's do it a different way. But,
so look, let's keep moving through this. Yeah. I will just say one little... If we are doing rubbish bits within that, right in the middle of the battle, all right, and if I was Elendil, I'd have been furious, you know, he helps out Isildur. Isildur helps out Elendil before he's about to get killed, and like
that's
like,
Halbrand.
Sorry, Halbrand yeah. saves him, and then Isildur like stops right in the middle of the battle for like a. I thought I'd lost you, chat, and this
yeah,
guy's
like no,
I'm
fine.
I'm okay,
yeah.
and also kill.
Yeah,
all right,
and then check on me.
This
in
is
the
why
end,
you
right?
are master of the sweep,
just a little stable boy. yeah. right?
What about when Galadriel gets that spear thrown at her, and she just. Pops off
Ooh,
that horse.
Yeah,
very cool.
Brilliant.
Love that.
Yeah.
That little slide.
Yeah.
You know, that little back slide.
Yeah, flexing her Matrix skills.
Yeah.
Love that shit.
It's what we've been waiting for, little moments like that. Like mm-hmm. We had a little bit in the first episode where she runs up the sword. Brilliant. And we just want more acrobatics, I think.
Yeah.
We had some from Arendelle.
Just more acrobatics,
Cirque du
please.
Soleil.
That's it.
Galadriel.
Yeah, more stunts.
And then we move on to Galadriel Halbrand chasing Adar
right.
through the forest.
Hey, did anyone else think that when Galadriel was riding that horse and chasing Adar through the forest, that it reminded them of when Eowyn is riding away from like the Black Knight people in the first, is it the first movie?
The Ring Race.
Yeah, and she's like whispering to a horse and saying like, faster, like the speed, and then Galadriel did it, and I was like, yeah, sick, see?
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good little nod that people Vin are fine with. It,
good little nod people full are fine. That's good, Charlie. Yeah, exactly what we're after.
Oh, good.
Okay. Listen, that scene, I was just fine with all of that.
Loved it.
You
all.
Don't kill him. No, you don't kill him. Yeah. Like, that's all. That's all fine. Really like that. Still not sold on Halbrand, but that was lovely.
No, but what we do need to mention there, Ash, and I do just need to pause you there. Let's explore this a little bit further.
Pause.
There was a bit about Halbrand had him. He had him, and he had the spear over his neck, and he was like, "You remember me? Do you remember me?"
And by the way, the worst answer is that, isn't it?
Adult was like, "Nope."
No.
So that's so offensive.
No,
so offensive.
I do not.
Because clearly, he's had some effect on Halbrand, and he's gone, "Do you remember me?" And he's gone, "Nah. Yeah. Who the fuck are you?"
Then we are back at the village, and it's victory. Numenoreans, anytime there's something
love
going
party,
on, get a pint
they?
In.
Drink your
well. Yeah.
Turn it up.
Our Farazons put a kitty on, all right?
Yes. Everyone slung a few bob in, haven't they?
Yeah.
Let's have a party. So
Isildur and the Bays have got their... they're there. How many did you kill?
It's a proper sea cadet shindig.
It is a sea cadet shindig. There's that one rubbish bloke who
one
says
one battle's enough for a lifetime.
Yeah, so it's like really rubbish. Like, oh, that's enough. That's
I
enough
think
for
I'll
me.
Stay.
Yeah, and he was getting battered the whole time anyway. Yeah. Like, yeah, no wonders, buddy.
Yeah, he was the one that was just literally getting lamped on by an awkwardly on the floor.
And then we move into the Galadriel interrogation scene, which is pretty cool, and we get a little bit of lore exploration.
Good.
There.
Very, very good.
Mariondir, or Uruk, with a fur. He's saying that he essentially created the first orcs. Now, that's unexplored lore to have it actually that detailed, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
What did you just say?
Unexplored lore?
No. Say all that again. He created the first.
First orcs. Yeah,
who did?
Adar. That's what he was saying in that scene.
The Uruk.
Well, hang on. What about like the whole first age?
Well, isn't that what he's saying?
He's an elf, right? So he's been kicking for a long time.
Were there not orcs in the first age in the War of Wrath?
Yeah.
Okay, right. And he was saying that he created them.
Well, they were made from him. He's their father. That's why he's the father. That's what they're exploring there.
No, see, I've read that entirely differently.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, if he said that, then I've missed that.
Well, I'm drawing the dots between it. But he's saying,
so, okay.
Yeah.
The bits that I took from that were like, oh, okay, this is like filling in a lot of blank spaces right now. Were he said at one point, I'm not the only one of my kind. I'm not the only dark, corrupted elf.
Mm.
There's others.
Ooh, yeah.
He definitely said that.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Sets us up for others like him. Good. But he also was like, there was a lot of stuff where he was basically saying, Sauron isn't my master.
Yeah.
Morgoth like is my master.
Yeah, almost like he's got a bit of beef with
almost
Sauron.
Almost like he's got a bit almost of beef with Sauron, like, or like, I at least see myself on a level with Sauron.
Well, he goes on to say that he killed Sauron.
Well,
he did claim that, didn't he?
Yeah. Which is a big fat fib, isn't it?
Which is a big fat fib, and he goes on to say that
can't be having
he
that.
Basically tried to turn to peace.
Yeah, and Galadriel was like, well, you're fucking lying. You're lying.
You're lying and you're wrong, and whatever you've been... told, but it's all down to, I suppose, the interpretation of maybe what Sauron was trying to achieve.
That felt like a really important scene between those two characters.
It was very
like
important.
A long time coming.
And I'll tell you for why.
You'll tell me for why?
Yeah, I'll tell you for why. Because of this line that he drops on him right here. Right at the end, he says, I'm not the only elf alive that has been transformed by darkness. That goes right back to the first bit with Finrod, where he says, you have to get close enough to the darkness to see or something. Mm.
Right,
like that,
yeah. You know? Look, that theme is the strongest throughout all of Tolkien's writing. Light, dark. It will
classic.
Just be, yeah. Even just
classic.
On a... even
like
just,
ready salted.
Like, ready, can't go wrong. Even just on a visual level of what we spoke about a moment ago, of like the Numenoreans appearing as the sunrise happens, and and the orcs only being able to appear in dark, like
it's the most basic thing.
That's all there is there. But no, it was good, and I think it was really, really. There'll be a lot there, I think. Like what Adar was saying, I think the further we get into the series, and probably the further we get into the whole show, that we'll be able to go back to that. So it did feel like a really, really important scene.
It's weird, isn't it? Because like, to get a bit like wanky with it, a bit like, but like the way they shot that was really interesting. Like there was a lot of like off, every angle of it was wrong. Like it felt really jarring watching it.
Yeah.
And it usually, you'd almost expect like when it was Galadriel, when we cut to Galadriel, it would be like a really straight on, like I'm the like justice, this is correct, I'm the one who's seeking the path of righteousness. Mm. And you go to Adar and it's all like, bleh. But for both of them, it was like really like juxtaposing.
The bit that was very lore though, that I really enjoyed, was when Adar was saying, it was brilliant. In fact, there were two bits within the same sentence where he said, firstly, he went, "The one you call Sauron," which is great because it suggests that he has been alive. Adar has been alive longer and knows more than he's like. Well, he's going by Sauron at the moment, is he?
You
know him as Sauron, dear. Like you know he's had another 10 Frank. Names before before you've even. That's brilliant. The one you know as Sauron. But then the very lore bit was, she was saying that when Melkor was defeated, Sauron took it upon himself to cleanse Middle-earth of, or like reset Middle-earth almost, which is lore. Like if you read Silmarillion, if you read Tolkien, that was, because Sauron doesn't think he's evil. That's the thing.
Yeah.
What Sauron thinks he's doing.
None of the
doing.
Evil guys think they're evil.
No one who's evil thinks they are the evil. Yeah, it's
classic evil guy syndrome.
They're like, no, we're.
No, I'm the good guy. Yeah. I'm just misunderstood.
And he was saying all that, wasn't he? He was like, that was Sauron's deal. Now, you know, obviously, like, Galadriel has a different interpretation of that. But it was a really, really good scene. One of the best of the whole show so far.
Okay.
Come on, mate, get on with it.
Right,
honestly.
Then, look, not really much to talk about. We've got Galadriel and Halbrand in the woods after the party. You know, whatever it is that's holding you back, let it go. I don't care.
Yeah, rubbish.
I want to move on.
Wait.
No,
wait.
Okay.
Previous scene, just the final little bit when Adar was like, "Who are you?" to Halbrand. Anyone clock that?
Yeah, as he's walking out.
Yeah. That wasn't just like a sort of drunk like, "Who are you?" it was a like weird.
Who are you?
No, hang on. Who are you?
Well, like you were saying, Cal, the many names of the one we speak of, like, who are you now?
The case for Halbrand being Sauron is growing and growing and growing.
You
and
said you would stop watching.
Well, but I've done a 180. I've done a 360. I've done a 490.
Hey.
I've done a 5,082.
Flip person.
However many degrees you need to flip on round until I've reconvinced myself of something I didn't think at all.
Yeah.
I'm coming out on record.
Officially.
What do we do on this podcast? We stare down the fucking barrel.
Stare down the
fucking barrel right now. Okay. I'm telling you, Halbrand is Sauron. Halbrand is Sauron. Sauron is Halbrand.
Sorry, what was that last bit?
Shouldn't have stuttered. Would have been more effective.
It's not.
Sauron is Halbrand. Halbrand is Sauron. Definitive from myself. There we go.
Well, look, that's good because that's exactly what you're coming to. That is literally the next bit after they've been in the woods. They name him.
They king him. Yeah.
Halbrand.
King him.
Halbrand. They
crown him.
Which goes back to what was happening in episode one when Arondir walks into Wool. I can't remember his name.
Waldrig.
When he walks into Waldrig's shop, and that bloke says, "One day our true king will come back."
Your kind.
Yeah.
No,
they were talking about Halbrand the whole time. Who could have thought it?
Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
Where are we?
I'll tell you what, we're talking about enjoying a series, and we're talking about what you just said about suddenly something existing, because Waldrig my boy.
Oh, fucking hell.
Takes the sword.
Still not dead.
When did that happen?
I don't know. Listen, but
when did the swap happen?
He's got it. Yeah. All right. Waldring's got hold of that sword. All right. It's been palmed off to him by a Dar. All right. Given him the space to get up to that tower, Tihrad. And he plunges that motherfucker.
How did he know where to put in the ground?
Was he up there
when he went to the thing and moved the vines
somebody
out of the
told
way?
Him.
I thought they'd left.
Why does that matter? Somebody's told him.
I don't know. I'm annoyed that he climbed all the way back up there.
There was a line early on, wasn't there, when he went, Waldrog, I have a task for you.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And he just filled him in.
All right.
No, it all makes sense. Waldrog already had the mark on him. And he can sink that into his thing.
sorry. Wait, hang on. So you wanted a scene... Right,
with him climbing
which ruined the bit where the fucking mountain explodes. You wanted to see him for that, where Adar was like, "Right, listen, everybody, this is what's going to happen. Okay, you're going to get the sword. You're going to go up. You'll find a 2-inch by 1-inch slot in the ground, and you will insert the sword in, and then the mountain will blow up."
That's not what I wanted.
He just likes things.
Why is he from the Beatles?
Where does he know? Waldrig is a fucking lemon. He is just some little sycophant to Adar, little bitch pussy that's like, I'm just going to go whoever's strongest. Yeah. Yeah. Waldrig, right? Anyway, he's just like, I'll just go to whatever side I think is going to win because he's just, you know, fucking loser.
Right.
And then at some point, it's decided that he's second in command somehow, gets trusted with the hill.
Look, I agree with everything you're saying. We shouldn't even pay him the fucking...
Anyway, what he did was important, obviously.
Yeah, let's get to the sick bit.
How many mountains have you two exploded?
Can we backtrack just a little bit?
Zero, yeah.
There's a very important bit here that we've missed out, and I'd say it's the first time in this entire series where I've gone, Aaron, dear mate, come on. And it's the moment, not only the moment that he gives Theo the hilt, that what he believes with hilt, but he didn't even check the hilt was there. This is the thing we've just had an entire battle about, basically.
Somebody unwrap the fucking rag.
Somebody just take that rag off.
Yeah.
Like, that rag's falling apart.
Yeah,
you
think
can probably
could,
see
like,
through the Hessian sort of fucking thing that it is. Like,
would have felt very different.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, it's the first time I've got Arandir, mate. If I was the guy playing Arandir, I'd go like, this isn't very Arandir.
The shape and size and weight.
It's
of
all
that.
Wrong.
I'm an elf. I'm very astute to just how.
Yeah, you're right, DJ. Right.
Yeah.
It's a good shout, DJ.
Anyway, let's get to that bit, shall we?
Yes, please.
The mountain exploding.
Yeah. Sticks it in, and the water's going down. They weren't digging the tunnels just to get to the villages.
Well, what was it? DJ's sentence. Yeah. The one thing. What did you say to start the pod off?
They were digging tunnels for a reason.
They were digging tunnels for a reason.
And
this was the fucking reason.
We see some pyroclastic motherfucking flows.
Oh, I love that pyroclastic shit.
Right? Flying around. There's like
no one survives that,
crushing people.
No one survives pyroclastic flow. Dead. So they should all be dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening.
And I'm so desperate to get into this scene because I genuinely think when you've got time to step away from this and digest it, it probably what we've just seen is one of the iconic drama scenes of TV history. Yeah. Like
the creation of Mount Doom.
The creation of Mount Doom and Mordor, yeah. Like, amazing. And again, exactly where I want this series to live, in that ambiguous bit of it's never been written by Tolkien, but we can attack it.
Yeah.
And there's enough there for us to be creative with it, and we're not breaking anybody's heart by doing that. Like, brilliant. Mm. If you go back and if you watch every single episode and every single scene where they're digging those tunnels, so much of it, there's Mount Doom or that mountain in the background.
Mm.
Right.
Go and watch it. Yeah. Go and watch it.
And we all thought they were digging
for the sword,
and they just weren't.
And the whole time, because we are just, you know, obviously absorbed with what's going on in the foreground, a massive big dog thing attacking Arandir, him doing backflips, him having to chop down a tree, them like just fights, like all of that's going on, and every single time in the background is a mountain.
Yeah.
That will become Mount Doom.
It's good. It was good.
Brilliant. Love and that's it. The bit where you have to go, Amazon, you do know what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm.
You do know what we want.
Yeah. What's mental about this is before it all happened, and there's that scene with Theo, I went, anybody else see that mountain in the background?
You do, didn't you?
In terms of like the actual science of that, when water connects with dormant lava,
magma,
does that happen? Or was that a bit of magic?
I don't know if it was dormant. It just seemed like really far down, didn't it? It wasn't necessarily a dormant volcano.
Everything I've been taught about science is that water puts out fire, doesn't it?
No, not when it's that hot. It would create.
It's like all about displacement,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
It's that pressure from the steam, isn't it? It's not a steam engine. That thing just.
It's like when you pour like water on a burning chip fan. Chip fan?
Yeah.
Like, chip, yeah, no. The oil shoots out. Yeah, it's not like in Minecraft if you put like a bucket of water on lava. It's okay. Like, oh, obsidian, okay. No explosion.
I can
like,
buy
that's
it.
Not, that's
I,
not it.
I can buy it.
And the majority of what was coming out there, they were giant rocks of lava. Like, they were rocks.
Dude, it was an explosion.
Out. It was an explosion of.
It was a goddamn explosion.
Meteor,
right. It was Krakatoa.
Oh, it was crazy.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's start naming volcanoes, eh?
It took me back to a moment in my childhood, actually, where I had a right old time.
Where you experienced a volcanic eruption?
No.
Oh, okay.
Charlie,
fine.
No. Okay. All right. Back the fuck up.
That's the only way this story will be interesting, but
well,
fine.
Right. I've got you because I was doing some of the old chocolate Nesquik
you've got me already. I
went
know
too
it's going
far,
to be good.
Too quick, too early, and flicked it back up, and a magma ball of Nesquik came out and got me in the face.
So you also you
volcano
can relate
science.
To the Southlanders got hit by those
because you got hit with a lump of Nesquik goo.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Similar.
That's fair enough.
Blob of Nesquik.
Glob of Nesquik.
Glob. Yeah. Glob again. Yeah.
Well, look.
But brilliant. So brilliant.
Brilliant. The mountain explosion, I think we all thought was just a fantastic piece of cinematography.
Oh, beautiful.
But that brings us to the end of the episode.
Wow. Where's it going to go? Two more left? Just two?
Two more.
What are they going to do? Do you know what? I'll throw this in there. Right. Where the fuck is Celebrimbor? Where are the rings? There's been no mention of a ring.
Too early.
The show's called Rings of Power.
I think we'll see that tower finished, and in the next episode, we're not seeing anything of the orcs or anything around the area.
No, I missed Elrond.
Yeah, missed Elrond, missed the half.
I feel like what we're going to see is we're going to see everybody else's lead up to that moment where the mountain explodes.
Will they all feel it? Will they all feel
like
it happen?
The episode or throughout the episode, we'll see certain moments where in the distance they feel a tremor. Or they see something in the fucking distance, they're like, oh,
correct.
Shit. Oh, shit.
That's
the
what
zit
will happen.
Has been popped.
Yes. Like when a volcano explodes on a continent, everyone on that continent feels it.
Especially when that continent's flat. Everybody
is it flat?
It.
Flat Earth.
Well, I want that research in, please. Is it flat at the moment?
We said this.
I'm only joking.
Oh
we know it's flat.
Oh, shit, Joe, Callum.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think we'll see everyone else's reaction to it. I don't think we'll see the lead up. I think it'll open with... Well, look, I'll tell you what it will open with, and this is based off of a lot of promo shots. We've seen a lot of Galadriel covered in ash. That's where we'll open next time. We've seen her walk into, frankly, it's something that should kill her, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, we know she's never going to die.
No,
sure.
So I think... We'll see her covered in ash and be like, oh, fuck this, haven't I? I fucked this right up.
Didn't see that coming.
Didn't see that coming. Like I said, she's been played like a fiddle. Really enjoying that metaphor tonight. But then, yeah, we'll see all that. You know, Gil-galad, Gilly G will be like, I've ballsed it all up.
Well, he's going to be like...
Elrond will be like, fuck's sake.
Assemble the elven armies.
Yeah, and I think it will probably accelerate the sort of like, right, let's get our reaction to this going. Yeah. We need our furnace going.
There'll be no more...
Let's get that tower sorted.
Jack and Sauron's back. There'll be no more of that, will there?
That
see,
will be like,
so you're saying, like, assemble the elven armies, but I'll be going, don't go anywhere fucking near it. Stay away. Because there is an ash cloud.
That's why
is...
you wouldn't be the leader
of
cowardice. The Elven Kingdom.
Yeah.
There's an ash cloud on its way. Yeah.
So that'll be those two. What will be the Harfoot / stranger reaction to seeing that or feeling those trends?
Sadok's going to have something to say about it.
Sadok Barrow is going to be like,
the skies,
I don't know,
are strange.
The skies are strange. He's going to be like, what? Told you. Not in any of my star maps. So I just don't know. Don't know. What do you think, Mr. Meteor Man?
Who can now speak fluent.
Who will now be able to speak fluently.
Will he? Why?
Time.
Well, I mean...
progress.
Yeah, last episode he was like, me good.
Volcano bad.
Yeah, something like that, wasn't
it? Towards it.
Yeah.
They'll go towards it.
And then eventually...
Do you think so?
I think so.
You shall not pass! That's what we get to in a minute.
Oh, wow.
He's
wowie,
back.
Wow.
He's back.
Here he is.
You shouldn't encourage them, Deej, because they'll do it.
All right. Well, maybe we should just wrap it up there then.
Take us out, Cal.
Take us out. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Whatever platform you've chosen to engage with us on, thank you so much. We really do appreciate all of the interaction. Downloads, Spotify, podcasts. What else are we on?
YouTube.
Apple Music. YouTube. Please subscribe. Yeah.
Ring Comment. The bell.
Yeah, all of that.
All that stuff.
All of that.
Yeah, brilliant. And more than anything, we hope that you enjoyed the episode as much as we did. So until next time, we will see you. Thank you so much for watching the Mouth of Sauron podcast.
Catch you on the flippity flip.
See you later.
Yeah, good. Good.
Welcome to Deej's Shoutouts. Deej, shout them out.
So one shout out for you this week, and this goes to Middle Earth Theory on Instagram. Yeah. He's one of our boys that we go to quite a lot of the time to sort of check out posts, see what he's got to say. We've mentioned him before in the pod, especially the sort of Durin Fight Club theory came from him. But recently he's been uploading some really cool quizzes on his story where he takes character names and types them in musical font. And then you have to guess the band that he's typed him in. So it's brilliant content.
Cool.
Middle Earth Theory. Check it out.
Nice.
Can't believe I've got more followers, man. So yeah, please like his posts, follow him. Yeah, love what you're creating at the moment, man.